Chapter 4. Frank Raymond, reporter at the trial of Sweeney Todd.
My name is Frank Raymond, and I was the reporter for the Daily Courant during the trial of Sweeney Todd. London was very excited as the trial approached in December 1801. In my entire career as a reporter, I never saw such excitement for a criminal trial. Todd was actually on trial for the murder of one sailor, Francis Thornhill. Despite the large number of bodies and the large amount of evidence at his home, police could not identify any other victims. Although the barber was a serial killer, one murder was enough for him to be executed. The prosecutor, dressed in a black gown and a white wig, opened his case. Mr. Thornhill was ordered to take some oriental pearls worth £16,000 to a young lady in London, he began. Thornhill's ship arrived and he went into the city to deliver the pearls. On his way, he entered the prisoner's shop for a shave, and nobody saw him again. Todd admitted shaving the sailor, but said, "I completed the job, and Thornhill left." Gentlemen, those Oriental pearls soon appeared at the home of a man called Mr. John Mundell, the prosecutor continued. Sweeney Todd sold them to him for £1,000. Is that not enough evidence of his guilt? Then, the prosecutor described the scene under St. Dunstan's Church. There was a pile of new bodies with hardly any meat on them, but enough to produce the terrible smell in the church. After that, the prosecutor described the connecting tunnels between Fleet Street and Bell Yard and linked it all to the evidence in Sweeney Todd's house. His house was full of the possessions and clothing of 160 people, he said to the shocked courtroom. Yes, gentlemen of the jury, 160 people. And Francis Thornhill's jacket was among the clothing. Is a jacket enough evidence to imprison a man? The law says no, and requires the body of the murdered man. We've got that evidence, because Mr. Thornhill's body was found among the skeletons under the church. Sir Richard Blunt, the chief of the police, testified next. In my investigations, I discovered that 10 out of 13 victims planned to have a shave or haircut, he said. Then I heard about the disappearance of Francis Thornhill. He also went to Todd's shop and nobody saw him leave it. The last witness for the prosecution was Thornhill's doctor, Sylvester Steers. He identified a leg bone under Todd's shop as belonging to Thornhill. How did you come to this conclusion? The prosecutor asked. Mr. Thornhill had an unusual and painful accident as a young man, the doctor answered. Although he was cured, his bone was still deformed. I was his doctor and I recognized it. Then it was the defense lawyer's turn to speak. He had a difficult job, but he tried his best. There's no evidence against my client, just strange stories about bad smells in churches, ingenious chairs, secret tunnels and meat pies, he began. Really, gentlemen of the jury, this evidence is an insult to your intelligence. Next, he attacked the prosecution's evidence. How could the disappearance of respectable men have any connection to Sweeney Todd? He asked. Respectable men like being shaved, and even Sir Richard Blunt had a shave several times at my client's shop. Yet here he is, alive and well to give evidence today. And the smell in St. Dunstan's? Why not say, my client committed a crime because this courtroom is not well ventilated? The most serious evidence against Sweeney Todd was the disappearance of Francis Thornhill. Why should my client be declared guilty of this murder? The defence lawyer said. Hundreds of people may have seen him come out of the shop, and no doubt they did. But they didn't recognise him because he was a stranger. As for the leg bone, the doctor says he recognises it. But, gentlemen of the jury, imagine if a man brought a window to this courtroom and declared it belonged to a certain house. Would you believe him? He concluded his defence by blaming Marjorie Lovett for all the murders and saying her suicide clearly showed her guilt. The judge summed up the case and then the jury returned a guilty verdict after only 5 minutes. Have you got anything to say before the sentence? The judge asked Todd.
I'm not guilty!
Todd shouted. It is now my painful responsibility to pass sentence upon you. You will be taken from here to a place of execution and hanged by the neck until you are dead, the judge declared. Your dead body will be cut up. May heaven have compassion upon you. On the 25th of January, 1802, in the prison yard at Newgate, Sweeney Todd was hanged in front of a crowd of thousands, and after his execution, his body was cut up. So Sweeney Todd ended his life in the same way so many of his victims did, as a pile of meat and bones.